Now today, in our lesson, we come to the book of Exodus and chapter 26. It is quite a lengthy chapter. There are 37 verses in the chapter, and it covers quite a number of details concerning the tabernacle. It deals with the curtains and the coverings. That's the first 14 verses. Then from verse 15 through verse 30, it deals with the boards and the bars. Verses 31 through 37, it tells us something about the veil and the hanging at the door. Before we read some of the verses regarding these matters, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we bow again before Thee, acknowledging Thee. Surely Thou art the eternal God, yet the Father of mercies, with whom there is no variableness nor any shadow ever cast by turning. We acknowledge Thee as the God who abides the same, eternally the same. As we turn to Thee now and are about to open Thy Word and read from its sacred page, wilt Thou by Thy Holy Spirit enable each of us once more to learn something from Thy Word that we can apply in a practical way to our everyday living. Hear us in these things, and may Thy blessing be the portion of all listeners, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as we come to this chapter then, the first 14 verses deal with the curtains and the coverings. But just in case there may be somebody listening in today who is not a normal listener to our program, I remind each one that we have been studying the book of Exodus. And when we came to chapter 25, we were introduced to some of the details given by the Lord through Moses for the children of Israel, that they may be able to build what was called the tabernacle in the wilderness. But now, if you may think for a moment that that has nothing to do with you, that that was only something that pertained to the Jews, I remind you again that in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1 and verse 14, we read these words, "And the Word was made flesh." Now that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now that particular expression, "and dwelt among us," is the same thought as the tabernacle. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. See, when the tabernacle was built or erected in the midst of the camp of Israel, then God's glory filled the tabernacle, and God dwelt in the midst of His people. So that what we have in the book of Exodus is simply a foreshadowing of the great event of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in His incarnation and dwelling down here on earth. So therefore, as we examine the things pertaining to the tabernacle, we are looking for these little details that set forth the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, in figure. Now, in the opening verses then of chapter 26, we are dealing with what is called the curtains and the coverings. Verse 1, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubim of cunning work shalt thou make them." Then it goes on to tell of the length of each curtain, and how these curtains were to be attached together. And so they were to be hung over the tabernacle. Then, having told us then about the curtains, then he comes down to tell us about something else that goes over those linen curtains. Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make." He tells us then the length of these curtains of goat's hair. Then, having told us about that, he goes on to tell us about the other coverings that came on top. In verse 14, "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins." Now, I trust if you have studied this before, you understand something regarding these curtains and these coverings. But suppose you have never studied it, my friend, I hope you now have the mental picture of what it's like. That these curtains are only seen from the inside. That the man who went in, who was the priest of Israel, he went inside and he could look up and he could see those curtains above him. The only one that was seen from the outside would be the outer covering, which was called the covering of badger skins. Underneath the badger skins, there were the ram skins dyed red. Underneath the ram skins, there were the coverings of the curtains of goat's hair. And underneath the goat's hair, the curtains of pure linen. These curtains and coverings, then, were 4 in number. Each one different from the other, and they represent 4 different aspects of the character and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember now, every whit of the tabernacle displays some facet of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider now the curtains, which are called the tabernacle. I suggest that these set forth Christ as the Supreme One. Now remember, only the person who is functioning inside the tabernacle, who has gone in there to worship God, he and he only, or should I say they and they only, because the sons of the priests went in with him, and the priestly family functioned in the holy place. They then were able to look up and see these beautiful curtains. Remember, they were made of fine twined linen. Now, fine twined linen, as you examine it in the Word of God, speaks of purity. So, as they looked at the material of which the curtains were made, this precious, special, fine twined linen spoke to them of purity. But then, you know, of course, that white speaks of purity. But over and above that, there were certain colors that were embroidered into the fine twined linen. There was blue and purple and scarlet, 3 colors. And then there were these emblems of the cherubim, all done of cunning work. They had to have the cunning workmen to do this. Now then, if the fine twine linen spoke of purity, remember when you saw the blue would speak of his deity. Blue is the color of heaven. You look up into the blue sky, and when you see the blue, it reminds you then of that which is heavenly. It tells us of his deity. But over and above that, there was purple. And there was scarlet. Now, the purple is that which speaks of dignity. The rich were clothed in purple. And so, therefore, some of the people of that day They showed that they were rich people when they dressed themselves up in purple and fine linen. And so the purple spoke of dignity. Here was the color that spoke of those that occupied high places. And so also, not only purple, but there was scarlet. Now, the scarlet is a rather unusual thing. This color, scarlet, was a dye. And the scarlet dye was got from the cochineal worm. And the worm had to be crushed, give its life, so to speak, in order to produce that particular dye. So therefore, we could see the blue speaking of heaven and his deity, the purple telling of his dignity. Ah, but when you looked at the scarlet, 'twas a picture of his humility, he who would pour forth his soul unto death. But over and above all that, there were these figures of the cherubim. We already mentioned the cherubim in connection with the mercy seat, for there were cherubim on the mercy seat, and we pointed out that you are introduced to the cherubim away back in the book of Genesis, where at the Garden of Eden the cherubim were placed at the entrance to that garden to guard the way to the tree of life. They indicated the presence of God. Justice and judgment were the habitations of his throne. Here then is that which spoke of his majesty. Remembering again that these curtains were only visible to those priests who functioned inside the holy place. There, as they looked up at those beautiful curtains, they saw what was a figure or a picture of the purity, the deity, the dignity, the humility, and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. In plain words, he is the Supreme One. When you come to the record of the New Testament, all these features are manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. But now, over these curtains, there were the curtains of goat's hair. That is called the tent. Now, if the first set of curtains in the inside pictured Christ as the Supreme One, the goat's hair pictured him as the sin offering. In this connection, you would require to study the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And there you read something concerning the Day of Atonement. Now, on that Day of Atonement, there were two goats. And there was a goat there that was a sin offering. So when the goat is introduced here and the goat's hair, you connect it with what the Bible says concerning the goat for the sin offering. So therefore, in the goat's hair curtains, we're reminded that Christ became the sin offering. But then, over and above that, on the outside of the goat's hair curtains, there was a covering of ram's skins dyed red. Now, you ask yourself this question again, where did these people get the ram's skins? First of all, they had to give them in order for them to be used and joined together to make those coverings. Way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, when Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He said, God shall provide himself a lamb, said Abraham in answering his son. And when God provided that lamb, those of you who are acquainted with your Bible will know this, that that lamb was a ram because it was a male of the first year. When you come to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, when we dealt with that chapter relative to the night of the Passover, the lamb that was to be slain on the night of the Passover was to be a male of the first year. In plain words, it was a ram. Now here's a little thought that does not come into view in chapter 12, but now comes into view here. That is, when they took that lamb on the night of the Passover, that lamb which was a male of the first year, they shed its blood, and the blood had to be sprinkled on the doorposts. That was for God to see. Inside they ate the lamb, the roast lamb with the bitter herbs. I wonder, what did they do with the skin of that lamb? Now we learn what they did with it. They kept it. And now there's a use for it. It's going to be used as a covering on the tabernacle. Now remember, that lamb that was slain on the night of the Passover was a substitute. That lamb gave its life in place of the firstborn. So as they saw the coverings of the ram's skins being prepared and placed on the tabernacle, it spoke of Christ as the substitute. But over and above that, on the outside, there was the covering of the badger skins. Now, it's a very difficult thing to understand why badger skins should be used, because they certainly would not be very attractive to the eye. But there's a little verse in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 10, which throws a lot of light on the thought of the badger skins. There God is telling them that when they were coming through the wilderness, He shod them with badger skins. Now, have you ever thought of it? These people traveled through the wilderness for 40 years and their shoes never wore out. Why? Because the Lord shod them with badger skins and they lasted them for 40 years. Now, if they were wearing the badger skin shoes, remember that had to do with their walk. And they kept them separate from the sand of the desert. Remember then, as we think of the badger skins, we think of Christ as the separate one. Add all these things together, and these curtains and these coverings over the tabernacle, a beautiful picture setting forth some of the glories of the person of Jesus Christ. Christ the Supreme One, Christ the sin offering, Christ our substitute, Christ who was separate from sinners. He neither sinned in thought, word, or deed. But before these curtains could be upheld, there had to be boards and bars. When you come to verse 15, you begin to read of the boards and the bars. For he tells us there regarding these very things. Thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. Then he gives us the dimensions of these boards. Now these boards and bars were made again of shittim wood. We've already referred to the wood that was used in the construction of the tabernacle. This shittim wood was the wood of the desert. Shittim wood was overlaid with gold. Now remember, before these bars could be put in position, they first of all were trees that had grown up on the earth. They had an earth connection, but they had to be cut down, and then they had to be shaped and made ready to form the boards of this tabernacle. Now, first of all, then, if they were made of shittim wood, it speaks again of Christ's humanity. This, of course, is expressed by the incorruptible shittim wood. But it also expresses his deity. You'll notice that these two things come before us again and again as we study the tabernacle. The combination of Christ's humanity and his deity. These are the things that the devil doesn't like. He attacks these two great truths. And you'll find that many of the cults today are denying these very things. Liberalism today denies these things. They try to deny the perfect humanity of the Christ. They try to deny the deity of the Christ. But you and I must hold tenaciously to these two fundamental truths, the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. These boards were standing up in sockets of silver, remembering that silver is indicative of the price of redemption. So if these boards were standing up in sockets of silver, they represent the truth of resurrection based on the finished work of atonement. And for their two tenons went down into these sockets of silver. Thus the boards were standing up. They had been cut down, that's perfectly true. But now with the two tenons in the sockets of silver, they're standing up as boards of this tabernacle in which these people could worship. Then I want you to think of the unity of these boards as expressed by every board joined and held by the bars. These bars gave balance and stability to the whole structure, reminding us that Christ had a perfect balance, both Godward and manward, because he kept the law and made it honorable. Also, there was dignity regarding these boards, as expressed by the golden rings. There were three golden rings in every board, and the bars went through those rings. One bar went from one end to the other, and then there was two bars on top and two bars underneath the central bar. There were three rings in each board, and since three is the number of the Trinity, we learn that in him was all the fullness of the Godhead. Now then, we come to the veil and the door hangings, from verses 31 through 37. Now, in verse 31, he says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made. Thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver." And then in verse 36, "And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework." Now notice then the veil and the door hanging. The veil was that which separated between the holy place and the holy of holies. And this veil was hanging there on four pillars. Now the door hanging was that which was on the outside and separated between the holy place and the outer court. Now remember, only the priest and his family could enter in the door into the holy place. But only the priest himself could enter the veil into the holy of holies. And even then he could only go in one day in the year on the Day of Atonement. Now think of the meaning of the veil. The spiritual meaning or significance of the veil is placed beyond all dispute by the teaching of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Because when you come to that epistle, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, we read this. Or verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Now that should put it beyond all dispute. That you may argue about other details in the tabernacle, but when it comes to the veil, that speaks of Christ in his humanity. The materials for the veil. The veil was the same as the curtains which were overhead. The support for the veil, four pillars with hooks of gold and resting in sockets of silver. There was the rending of the veil, was a divine act, giving direct access, suggesting there was a completed work when Christ died on Calvary. The way was opened whereby we could go directly into the presence of God. But the hanging for the door, this was the same as the veil, but did not have the figures of the cherubim. The pillars on which it was hung were five in number, while the veil only had four. The sockets for the five pillars were made of brass. indicating divine judgment, than the hoops were of gold.